The following podcast is not relating to my teachings and work at Del Cid Medical Center and is for entertainment purposes only. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Life of Flow podcast. And today we're going to have a little off topic. We're going to have Courtney Johnson. She's a personal brand specialist and especially in the area of LinkedIn, mostly the area of expertise, has a couple of viral TikToks and LinkedIn posts out there. And she basically helps individuals and entrepreneurs develop their personal brand and assist them in kind of promoting themselves. So we had a super interesting conversation with Courtney. Hope you guys enjoy.
Yeah, now more than ever. It seems like a very timely piece to delve into what it means to have the personal brand development in such a digital moment of time.
Definitely.
So I was very intrigued by this one. Let's do it.
Vamos.
Two vascular surgeons walk into a bar and come out with a podcast. We are talking everything vascular and not. Welcome to the Life of Flow podcast.
Are you avoiding showing your legs because of varicose veins? Worry no more. At Hope Vascular and Podiatry, we have the solution. Our vascular specialists are ready to rid you of those pesky varicose veins. Regain your confidence and enjoy life without complexes. Call 346-400-4673 or visit our website at www.hcic.io. Because at Hope Vascular and Podiatry, the new normal is you better.
Courtney, thanks for being on the show. It means a lot for us. And personally, there's this really personal need, I think, as in the last, 12, 15 months, as you well know, I've elected to leave the comfortable spot of corporate medicine, academic medicine. And I have found myself, despite the fact that despite the fact that I am a key opinion leader within my field, and some people know me and I have a few followers on Twitter, the reality is that when you become an entrepreneur, that when you become a business person, and then when you have to do networking and relationships and all these things, your knowledge of science and technical aspects of medicine is somewhat like useless in many ways. I mean, there's a value, of course, but it is not a brand, and it's not your ability to be recognized by people in the spheres of business that you may need in order to succeed, because your net worth is as strong as your network, right? And so in that sense, I was super excited to hear that you accepted this invite. You are also one of our most famous guests. You have a huge digital following, certainly in TikTok, off the charts. And now lately you've been invading every single one of my Instagram feeds, which by the way, I like, and I've told a ton of my people, of my close friends, that they have to follow you. Start with what is this whole concept of brand development, and maybe how did you get a little bit involved in that to get a little bit of the personal journey you went through?
Yeah, well, Miguel, I'm glad that you brought up your work and scientific knowledge unfortunately not necessarily being the most important thing in the business world, because I think especially when it comes to physicians or anyone in any science field, a lot of people think that their work will speak for itself. And as long as they put their head down and do great work, that somebody will notice and somebody will find them. Somebody will discover them. Somebody will pluck them out of a crowd. And of course, things like that happen rarely. They can happen, but it's most likely not going to happen for you. Like, you do have to stick your neck out. You do have to promote your own work. That is a whole side of your career that's just not talked about. And the reason why I got started in this is because I started out my career in marketing, especially social media marketing. And alongside all of these social media marketing strategies, I would have the brand strategy, the company strategy, and then something very, very small on the side of like, oh, the founder, the CEO, one of the leaders, some salespeople, some marketing people, just picking a few people from the organization and focusing on their personal brands as a teeny tiny small part of this broader strategy. And it may have been like 10 people and $500,000 working on the brand, and maybe one person for 3 hours a week, tiny budget working on the individual. Every single time, without exception, the individual personal brand would exceed the company brand by far every time. Crazy, because so little effort really needs to go into it compared to a marketing program for a whole huge brand. So that flipped a switch in my head where I was like, okay, personal brands is where the value really is at, because people connect very strongly with people. A brand is a non-human entity, like a logo, a brand, you're creating something, right? Like Hope, that is a non-human entity, your clinic, Miguel. And it's harder to get somebody to connect with something like that. Although it is possible, it just takes a lot more repetition. But for somebody to connect with you, Miguel, on a personal level is a lot easier. It's a lot more instantaneous and it lasts a lot longer. So I just realized that personal brands were getting people to their goals way faster for way less money, way less time, way less investment. And the results lasted beyond the current gig, the current role, the current company, into their entire career.
If something has opened doors, as I realized here, again, this last 24 months have been a roller coaster, to say the least, in many ways, but it's been all overall a very good positive growth pattern. And I would perhaps to super agree with you in the sense that more doors have been opened on, let's say, financial aspects, on professional aspects, by people that know who I am and that have had the capacity of knowing of me, you know, as a personal level, professional level. But it's been, you know, but then when I weigh the importance that that had, like the amount of doors that were open, or maybe some of you know, the funding sources that I was able to acquiesce, then what you do realize too is how limited that is. And so it's been essentially, I have this brand within the scope of these very few people that know who I am. And that when I realize that, hey, I'm in trouble, I maybe need to pivot, or I maybe need another extra, you know, source of funding for, you know, cash flow with healthcare is a complex subject. And so you go through these ups and downs, but then you realize that, man, you may have already tapped into your limited source that have the recognition of your brand. And so a little bit, and I don't know if I have even told you, but very inspired by some of the work that you've done and then some of the conversations we've had privately, I've gone out there and really put a lot of time and effort to try to bring that. And I've realized one thing is, and I'd love your opinion on this, but it seems like the best platform to grow that business or entrepreneur network is LinkedIn. And I know that you even have courses, and maybe one day you'll let me take your course. I know that just certain vascular surgeons get into your course for some unbeknownst reasons. But I would, however, like to understand what you think about platforms and how to use them best in this concept that, yes, you may have this brand, but as long as that brand, nobody sees it, it's just, you know, it's mute. The point is mute.
Mm-hmm. My favorite platform is LinkedIn, and I try to get everybody on LinkedIn, but it's because LinkedIn is the easiest platform to excel on right now, because there's more content consumers than content creators, where platforms like TikTok or Instagram or X, it's pretty even of people that are creating content and consuming content. But on LinkedIn, they just hit a billion users, and less than 1% of those post once per week. So the bar is low. Like, I know, Miguel, you're pretty active on X, and it's a great platform, but you have to be on there a lot. You have to post every day, at least a few times a week, where LinkedIn, post once a week for the next year, and your entire career trajectory will change. Doors will open up that you've never seen. Like, it is crazy, again, just how easy. I always try to, for better or worse, take the easiest shortcut, like laziest route. And for personal brand, that is just LinkedIn. And it's also not necessarily as much of an echo chamber as other platforms, because again, in medicine, I think you can easily get in an echo chamber of only other physicians where you're only reinforcing that knowledge. But what I like about LinkedIn is you can cast a little bit of a wider net to start learning about things just outside of your area of expertise. And that can be uncomfortable, but the learning aspect of it and the engagement aspect and like the networking aspect is huge. And then people are already on LinkedIn to make business decisions where somebody might be going on Instagram just to keep up with their friends. But people are already on LinkedIn looking for somebody to partner with, looking for somebody to invite on their podcast, looking for like doing this research. So again, make it easy for them to find you.
Well, for people that don't know, Courtney is my girlfriend. We're in a relationship. We've been in a relationship for a while. And I...
Is this an official digital coming out to the community?
I guess. I don't know.
Congratulations.
As we millennials say.
I think we should play some special music. We'll have the editors add some little sprinkles of love here.
Yeah, but one of the funny things is that Courtney's all about social media and I have no social media except now that started being more active. And one of the reasons, like one of the major reasons that this whole project started and came to be something is because of Courtney. Because obviously I've seen what she's doing and, you know, and she will always tell me, it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Well, you need to like be out there. And I'm like, why? Why do you even be out there? So, but Courtney's also a voracious reader. She always has recommended books. And through that, through her work and through her courses, I kind of came to the idea that, fuck, I probably need to do this.
Yeah.
So that's one of the major reasons that this whole thing is a thing. And I started taking your course recently, your LinkedIn course, and that was very, and started posting more on LinkedIn. And I faced like one of the things that you mentioned in your course, which is like cringe mountain, where it feels cringy to post something, even though like, why should it? Like you rationalize and it's like, why, you know, there's no reason why I should feel some resistance to post something once a week, but you do. And I don't know, Courtney, do you want to talk about cringe mountain?
Yeah, I was going to frame that in the sense of, what in your experience, you tutelage a lot, you take these people into courses that have absolutely no presence, no brand recognition. And this is a call to action for anybody out there, really, you know, log in, pay one of her courses. They're so worth it. The content and the evolution that you will have is amazing. But what do you feel what are the biggest obstacles for these new beginners that are trying to get this? To get out of their shell and say, no, I'm going to make a brand that this is something that I'm going to stick to. And he mentioned the cringe thing, which I always I always laugh at when you post about it. But expand on that.
Yeah. So first I'll explain the cringe mountain. So if you can picture a mountain with two valleys on each side. So to climb up the cringe mountain, you have to get through all of these people kind of saying, what are you doing? Who do you think you are? Did you see what so-and-so posted? Like you do have to deal with that shit as you embark on the cringe mountain. And it's hard walking up a mountain as people are yelling at you, feeling cringe and uncomfortable doesn't feel great. But once you get over that hump and get over that emotional aspect, you're in the land of cool. You're in the land of people that have already overcome the cringe mountain, already built a personal brand. And those people will never shit on you for your first bad post, right? A giant podcaster like Joe Rogan would never look at you guys' podcast and be like, only a 3-camera setup. I have a 10-camera setup. Oh my gosh, only a $1,200 mic. I have a $5,000 mic. Like he would never say that. He would be like, keep going, guys. What you're doing is awesome, right? The biggest YouTuber in the world is not going to look at me for my first YouTube video and be like, well, you could have done blah, blah, blah. Who do you think you are? No, they'd be like, I started there too, right? But somebody who is way too afraid to even embark on that is going to criticize. So that's an easy way to reframe that. Just knowing that if anybody does talk shit, they're the people that are too afraid to even embark on it. And the biggest hurdle is an emotional battle. Like it's not hard to get a piece of content out there. It's not hard to write down something you learned or share a book recommendation. Like you guys are doing that all the time. You're texting someone, you're emailing, whatever. That's not the hard part. The hard part is this emotional battle of overcoming the fear of being seen, because it's not normal for humans to be perceived by like thousands of people. It's the same as having stage fright. It's really uncomfortable. And it is like a very deep internal battle. Usually it comes from some form of insecurity, a fear of what other people might think. But it's a hard hurdle to overcome. And most people don't get past that hurdle.
Other than the cringe mountain, are there any other big red flags that you see that preclude people from evolving?
Yeah. It's funny because everybody thinks they're unique. Everybody thinks, well, I'm different because I really value my privacy. Or I'm different because, you know, I'm just a private person, or I care about the science, or I care about the art, and I just don't care about this part of it, right? Or I don't want to seem douchey, or I don't want to seem like I'm bragging. These are all just rationalizations to essentially surrender to that resistance. And yeah, they're tropes that I'm honestly annoyed at hearing, because I hear them all the time and I just need some more original excuses. But it's funny because if somebody comes to me and they're in my courses and they clearly know that it works, they see other people do it, they have friends that have launched their podcast, launched this business, built this personal brand, so they know it works. They're in my course and they're like, I still don't want to do it. And at that point, I can't do anything about it. I'm like, go to therapy. I'm not
your therapist. Can you talk about leverage?
Leverage is the most important. So everyone knows the concept of leverage, but essentially, what would you rather dig a hole with, right? A shovel or an excavator? You're going to pick an excavator. Social media is that excavator. 20 years ago, if you wanted to build a personal brand, you needed to have immense privilege or money. You needed to know someone with a radio show. You needed to have an agent. You needed to have somebody promoting your book. You needed to get on a morning talk show. It was way harder. And you could only go through these 5 to 10 major channels that funnel through every other type of media. Now is the only time in human history every single person has access to share their story in ways that were completely inaccessible 20 years ago. And not only that, the leverage that comes from it is immense. So if I'm selling my course, or I'm selling an ebook, or I'm putting myself out there, I'm trying to get funding, there is no extra effort from me, whether I get one meeting from VCs or 10. There's no extra effort if I sell one book or 10 books. There's no extra effort if 10,000 people see my post versus 10 million, right? This is all the leverage that comes from people all coming to you, seeing your stuff. And when, you know, it's difficult for the business model on physicians on the monetization of it. But again, for me, if I sell one $10 book versus 1 million, there's no marginal cost of reproduction on that. So it does not take extra effort for me. And it also doesn't take extra effort to get extra eyes on my post, therefore opportunities. It's just a matter of posting that, right? Your audience is going to naturally grow over time and your leverage is going to increase and compound over time.
So in that case, since physicians can't really use leverage because your times, your inputs are related to your outputs. You can do, especially surgeons or people that do interventions, you can do one procedure and you bill for that one procedure and you know, you can't expand time, you know, it is what it is. What benefits do you see on a personal brand for somebody that cannot separate their inputs from their outputs in their primary job?
I have this joke I always say on all my platforms, to have a side hoe. Everybody needs a side hoe. But what I mean by that is a side hustle. If you're getting...
Are you really saying that Lucas should have a side hoe?
This is Lucas's side hoe. Okay.
The life of flow.
The life of flow.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Life of flow. But yeah. I think that a lot of physicians don't understand the power and the knowledge that they have to have some sort of side hustle, side income, whether that's consulting, digital products. And again, you may think, whoa, that's crazy. I could never do that. No, look at all of the physicians that have these tutorials, that host their own education, that have you know, authored books, that have media that they're putting out. I encourage everybody to at least find a way to make their first $1 on the internet, whether that's putting out a guide or whether that's starting a podcast. There's a really interesting example on TikTok. There's this girl named Amanda, and she's still in med school. She may have just graduated, and she's already making money, not even being a physician yet, in this space, because she's sharing what she already knows. And what she already knows is studying, how to study, how she got into med school, like studying for the tests and, you know, her best study templates and study guides. She's already making money from this because she's seeing the opportunity and seeing the leverage of her being a med student, having thousands of other medical students follow her. Is she better at studying than any of them? Is she smarter than any of them? I don't know, maybe, maybe not, but she's the only person that's putting herself out there and sharing her knowledge. Like, your knowledge is worth so much money. There are ways to monetize your knowledge, and the adding your knowledge plus the leverage that comes through social media is huge. Huge opportunities that I think physicians have not even scratched the surface of.
Do you think people should be, should have somewhat of a, like an alter ego? I know there, you know, I know there's a lot of like actors and actresses that the lights when the lights are on, they're absolutely this different person, right? And then the lights shut off and then they go into, you know, I don't know how much of it is put off. I don't know, as I'm speaking of it, is it just that maybe when the lights are on, we are able to be much more exuberant and engaged and our serotonin levels are flushed out, and then it's okay for the lights to go off and to go off and hide and soothe and relax? And that doesn't mean that you're being an alter ego. It just means that, you know, when the lights are on, the lights are off. So how, you know, manage authenticity in the balance between the lights on and the lights off and the process of authenticity. And I guess loudly hearing from you, authenticity above everything.
Well, authenticity is a monetary privilege, and honesty is a monetary privilege. Very early in my career, I could not be honest about everything I thought was wrong with the industry and about why I didn't like certain things or how I had a contrarian take on something. I would have never gotten jobs at big marketing agencies early in my career if I would have voiced that. But as I started to develop my personal brand and develop this strength in people starting to really respect me and respect my opinion, I could be more and more honest. And it creates this feedback loop where the more honest and the more authentic you are, the more your audience is going to grow and the more people are going to relate to you. But you do have to have some sort of an established trust and an established existing strong brand to be able to share those things. I mean, you guys know, you guys can't, if you say certain things, you could lose your job, you could lose your license. So important to know when you, to slowly increase your authenticity as you can. And I don't mean that in things that are going to be controversial, but it could be something as simple as maybe you are really passionate about your religion or politics or something. Those things can negatively affect your career. But the more you build trust with your audience, the more you can talk about the things that truly matter to you and things that you really care about. But as far as your question about showing up and then turning the lights off, I think that's just creating boundaries around personal brand. And once you get in a flow or a process, it's like anything else. It's like any other type of creation. I get what you're saying, because it's hard for me of like being on camera and having to be on, and then I just like want to be lazy. But what's helpful is batching content. So exactly what you guys are doing, you're recording a couple of episodes over a weekend, so you don't necessarily have to turn on and get that effort to be in that space every single week. You can use that effort and muster up the effort to be in that space for a day and then have that content. So that's what I do too. I sit down, record a bunch of videos, write a bunch of content, and then I have that scheduled out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I would actually advise anybody listening to take up this recommendation of batch work, because Lucas, I'd love your opinion, but when I'm on the bus, I usually take a bus to come down to Austin, and then I take a bus back. But on the bus back, I am like destroyed. To those of you out there that don't know, like we'll record 6, 8, 10 podcasts in a couple of days. You know, maybe I'll have a beer or two here or there. It's not like we're getting drunk. Somebody asked me the other day, do you guys record drunk? I said, no. If anything, we're the best recordings we do are the early ones when you're crisp, not necessarily drunk. It's just that you're tired.
Yeah.
So creating content and doing it a lot, it just drains you and your capacity to be intellectually appealing. And on top of your conversations becomes limited. Have you noticed the same thing?
Yeah, definitely at the end of the recording sessions, you don't have the same energy. I think the energy is best kind of in the middle. As far as like, you know, I'm posting, you know, and developing, you know, I'm trying to be more active on LinkedIn just as a thing, because I honestly don't know how like Instagram works. I have no idea how it works. I was on Twitter for a little bit, but Twitter was kind of a dumpster fire. And I erased it from my phone. It's like, what is this thing doing for me? But I started doing some things on LinkedIn. I don't think I have great insight. Thankfully, we have Lila, which helps us in the social media, and she's been amazing, and she helps. She's helping with the couple posts I've done. So I don't think I have the experience to tell you, oh yeah, I'm gonna do it in batches, or yeah, I'm gonna do it like you know. One of the things I thought would be, you know, something easy was to do a little newsletter in regardings to the episodes and kind of lessons learned. And that I found interesting as an idea of like gathering things that are common themes around, you know, the people that we've interviewed. And it's like, okay, I can do that. That seems interesting to me. And if I'm interested, I will be interesting. But I don't know. I'm just starting.
Courtney, I think your hardest client of your life is going to be Lucas. So if you can help build his brand, I think that you're going to be propelled and do the rich and the famous very next. Because he is a basket case.
I think with Lucas actually has been an easier client. I mean, it did take like 4 years for him to actually decide to start building a personal brand. But I think it's almost like you either have to see somebody else do it and be like, how did you just get paid $1,000 to talk to someone for 2 hours? Or wait, who are all these people, you know, reaching out for podcast interviews? Like once you have a friend or a colleague that's building their personal brand, it's almost a frustration that comes up because it's like, wait, you're not any smarter than me. Why are you getting all these opportunities? And that's like the switch where a lot of people are like, okay, fuck it. I'm doing this. And I think that Lucas, what prompted you is you started seeing the leverage that I was experiencing and also started seeing other people around you and then started seeing these wins coming from the podcast of amazing people you got to talk to, great connections, you know, great opportunities. And I think that was kind of the switch of seeing, because you almost have to have this like aha moment of like getting it, like really understanding how it works. And when you see the opportunities and kind of how easily they come in, it makes a lot more sense.
So let's say there's a few very tickled people in the audience that are listening. What would be your advice to delve into this? What are the first, you know, the first rules of engagement? Maybe discuss some of the tools that they should look into to start getting more comfortable with how to do this.
Yeah, the simplest way to start is pick one platform, post once a week for 1 year, and watch your career change. I don't like to be too prescriptive on what type of post. Do you want to do videos? Do you want to do a podcast? Do you want to do written content? Because you already know what your best form of communication. Everybody has something that's different. For you guys, I think conversations is fantastic. And then platforms. I recommend LinkedIn as a very easy place to start. But if you do have on-camera skills and you love YouTube, or maybe you love gathering resources into newsletters, and that's more of your vibe. Whatever you feel like will be the laziest, easiest way for you to stay consistent for 1 year. And you'll see the results every single time, I promise. There's also some easy platforms and tools that can help you. I actually have somebody in my cohort right now that will interview you for an hour, like once a quarter, and then give you 12 video clips from it. So that would be a really easy 4-hour time commitment in a year to get all of your content out for a whole year. So there's a ton of tools like that as well. Or you can go on somebody else's podcast, pull down those clips using a tool like Opus Clip. There's scheduling tools as well. But honestly, easiest and best way to start is just pick one platform, post once a week for 1 year.
Is there some advice as to what platform for what purpose? Or is that something you have to interview people and say, let's talk first, and then I could tell you where I think you would have the edge, right? Like, I think you should TikTok this, or I think you should LinkedIn this, you know, like, because I think there's different purposes, right? You know, business, is it more, you know, younger people? Is it more business and networking? Like,
I ask people what their goal is in 5 years, not what their immediate goal is, because this is planting the seed for your next career move, your next venture, your next whatever. So if their goal is in 5 years, I want to move out of, I don't know, Idaho and move back to a big city and work at an amazing hospital and get this certain role, great. How can we plant those seeds now so you're teed up and positioned? Maybe it's in 5 years, I want to start my own company. I want to start my own practice. Great. Who are the people that we need to add and start developing relationships with now? Who are the people we need to get in front of? What are the skills that you need to learn from this? Put that in place now, plant the seeds, and that's going to become a lot easier when that next step happens. I'm curious for you guys, because I think this would be helpful for your audience. Is there maybe one or two examples that you guys each have of just a small win that you've had from your personal brands recently?
I mean, for me, just sitting down and having a conversation with Frank Vieth for an hour was amazing. I was like, I mean, I'm not as much of a regular speaking circuit as you are. I know that, that obviously you have a relationship with Frank, but I didn't. And I got to have sit down and ask him questions after I read his book. That was super cool. Yes.
For me, an aha moment to your point before was we were seeking as part of our hope development strategy for this year. We wanted to engage some potential big players to develop a joint venture that could help us accelerate some of the growth that we envision for the company. We wanted to develop more sites, and it was made very clear very fast that I could identify a lot of these strategic players. And the introduction did not come necessarily through LinkedIn. It came through actually somebody that I know that I met because he wanted to talk to me and congratulate me on the Life of Flow podcast. So your ex-boss, what's his name?
Davis.
Yeah. Mark Davis. And I talk at Vieth at the meeting. Yeah. We start talking about the podcast. That led him to understand some of our needs, which led him to immediately pick up his phone and say, no, you need to connect with this guy who is the vice president of growth strategies for a particular large health group in Houston or in Texas or actually nationwide. And I met that guy the next week. And then somebody that worked for him said, oh, I've been tracking you and I love some of the podcasts you've had.
Yeah.
So talk about a full circle, right? I was in New York City talking about something rather superfluous that immediately escalated to a conversation that was really deep for us and important for our future and our potential financial well-being. And then full circled us being able to connect with this person and somebody in his team recognizing me from these podcasts that we've been sharing. So that was my aha moment of saying, I get why we're doing this.
Yeah.
Because as an entrepreneur, you live off of the digital strategic ability and how easier than to let these things work for you when you're asleep.
Yeah.
Right. That to your point, we're so busy operating and doing all these things. You create that thing, you put it out there and that thing is working, man.
Yeah.
In the back, it's just going.
And there's a lot of like secondary. Yeah. We put it out there, but there's like a lot of secondary effects that just happen. It's really crazy.
It's the transformational. And I don't know if this is something that you talk, cause I don't think I've heard you talk a lot more, but it's the transformational, than materialistic side of things, because what happens here and what happens on your brand and on your page creates then these conversations that, for example, you had somebody calling you yesterday about potentially having drinks with a VC.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that was something that didn't happen on LinkedIn, but it happened as a tumble, you know, as an effect of a ping pong, two, three things. And then you have all these other things that happen outside in like real life, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you seen a lot of that?
It's getting you more at bats, like infinitely more at bats, because normally you're only going to a conference to network. Maybe you have a conversation with 10, 20 people there, and then the 10, 20 people you spend most of your weekdays with, right? That's normally who you're chatting around. But with the leverage that comes from social media, even if you have a really small, your LinkedIn has 300 connections, right? Your post is still going to be seen by a couple hundred people. That is way more people. That is way more people than the 10, 20 people you interact with in your industry in a month. And even if it doesn't seem like it, like even at first, if nobody's liking or commenting or sharing, you're like, is this even working? I promise you, you're going to go to a conference and somebody's going to say, hey, I've actually been seeing your LinkedIn post, or I actually saw you on Twitter, or weren't you a guest on that podcast? And the amount of at bats that, again, like you're saying, are happening while you're sleeping just infinitely expands opportunities. It's fantastic. It's wild how quickly it can happen.
Yeah.
One of the, you know, I think this has become obviously a somewhat of a coaching sort of business for you, right? Is this something that, to my point before, you know, how do you start? How do you get out there? What are your personal coaching sort of strategies and options out there for people that want to really learn about this and get really good at it?
Yeah, so I have two cohorts, which I run quarterly. So they're essentially live courses with mentorship that span the course of a month. So I have one that's around TikTok in short form video, so TikTok and Reels, and then one that is around LinkedIn. If you are not ready to commit 4 weeks to really dive deep, I have some free resources, a short ebook, a shorter course, and I do one-on-one coaching as well for personal brands.
Are there, I know you too, like you're one thing that I love about when we all meet together is you always throw new books at me, both of you. Because you are avid readers.
It's just books that she recommends to me.
Is that how that goes? That's,
really? She reads a lot.
She reads it. She sends it to you and then you send them to me.
Yeah, exactly. That's how that goes. Yeah.
Lucas, are you taking credit for my book recommendation?
No.
I think he does. Literally every show, he's like, oh, I just read this one book about this one person. It's a lot. And now I realize that's just all coming from
that's
CJ.
That's all coming from Courtney.
And so I wanted to hear... if you have a top maybe three books that you like that can help just globally your not necessarily on personal brands, but things that are important motivators or things that you think are good to read as you're embarking into this uncomfortable world of exposure.
Great question. I actually have a whole free book recommendation list that has book recommendations by your problem or issue you're struggling with. So I'm prescribing books. But my first recommendation would be The Almanac of Naval Ravikant. I'm sure like everyone has probably heard of him that are listening to the show because Lucas has mentioned Naval a few times.
Naval, come on the podcast, please. That's my dream. Yeah. That's one of my dreams.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we just reach out to him?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I don't know.
We'll make
he's,
it.
Yeah, he's launching a new app, so he's probably on a press tour. Yeah. So let's do it. But yeah, Almanac of Naval Ravikant, it's just pulling together all of his teachings. I think he takes a very good balance of like a scientific approach and more emotional approach and kind of like Zen approach to things. And he talks a lot about the leverage that comes from personal brand and the importance of personal brand in that book, among other things. The second book that I would recommend, I actually just finished reading it. It's called The 7 Rules of Power and just kind of how to develop power throughout your career. But there's a whole chapter about personal brand with some extremely strategic, specific plays. And then the biggest book the main book I recommend if you're feeling like you really need to get over Cringe Mountain and you can't get over Cringe Mountain is The Artist's Way and The Creative Act by Rick Rubin. The Artist's Way is by, I forget the author of that one, but they're both really fantastic.
We'll put it in the show notes afterwards. No worries. Mm-hmm.
They're both fantastic to get over that Cringe Mountain because it almost positions your career as like art, like exploration of art, and really teaches you how it's essentially your responsibility to promote your work and how important that is, more on the emotional side. So again, if we're to that point where I'm like, you just need to go to therapy, read The Creative Act and The Artist's Way.
Courtney, one of the things that I also enjoy, and I'm sure that there's a degree of playfulness in the way that you approach it, because it probably people are, you know, scrolling endlessly, and then there's something that just makes you stop, right? There's these eye-catching little things that you incorporate in your tactical ways in which you could get information. And that's why I like really say, like, you know, join her and get some of these kind of odd tips. Because there's little things that you do that you know people are gonna stop. And I love when you kind of describe them. Because I'm sure it drives people nuts, like when there's a typo on one of your posts. I heard you once mention, I don't know if this is open or not, but you're like, I purposely put typos. And I don't know if that was you just give me a white lie, or do you actually really purposely put typos so that people stop and say, like, what is this? You can't even write that word and create engagement with people. Because if you got, you know, if they ain't hating, you ain't winning, right? Like, I feel like. what's your thought on that? Those little, like, you know, tricks that we have developed through social media to create engagement.
Yeah, I do insert typos a lot. I also will tag random locations, like geolocations. So I recently did a post about why academia is so far behind in marketing and tagged it at Harvard University and spelled something wrong. So all of the Harvard bros were like, what do you mean? Academia is not marketing, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, ha, ha, ha. You're falling for it. I'm a good marketer. I told you.
Did you say Harvard bros?
Yeah.
Harvard bros, yeah.
Yeah.
But my favorite, the best way to engage people is by giving value. Like, somebody needs to be able to get some sort of value from your content just by glancing at it. If you're all about a mistake people make is making their content all about me. Oh, look at me. I won this award. I did this thing. My product is so awesome. Hire me. Whatever. That's most people just don't care. And it's not that you can't do that. Just don't expect that to be the basis that you build your brand off of. So giving value is number one. Just being outwardly facing. Here is how you can do this. Here's how you can accomplish this goal. But I do have these things that I call baiting the fish. And if you can get people to argue in your comments, your videos are going to blow up. So yeah, spelling something wrong, you guys are going to be mad at me for this, but misattributing like data or misattributing a quote or misattributing something. And like studies show that blah, blah, blah. And it's like, actually, that's wrong. It's like 50%. So also having like quick cuts, people's attention spans are very short. So the quicker you can just get to the point, the better. And then, yeah, I do have some inappropriate things that I'm not going to talk about that make people watch the videos too. Well, one that's funny is I'll just put my hair in a towel, even if my makeup's done, I'm ready. So people will be like, you couldn't have done your hair and waited 5 more minutes to record this video. Yeah, anything that can make people mad. So slight controversy is really good.
Yeah. Then the user props, like the little microphone that I hate. Yeah. But everybody that's famous out there is just picks this little microphone and gives this little.
It's helpful. I mean, I have a.
You have a huge one. Microphone. Yeah. I mean, now I can tell that I know that the little one is just a proppy one. Courtney, that works.
Yeah, it doesn't work well.
I've kind of like obviously been in the first row seat of you developing your business. And can you talk about kind of like the personal growth that you have to go through as a human? How you have to kind of really commit to being a better version of yourself to be able to play that game, you know, instead of the game of being an employee?
Yeah, I actually think there's three different types of people that build a strong personal brand and a strong business. One is if you grow up around it and that's normalized for you, it's going to be easy for you. The Nepo babies, the, you know, people that grew up in really wealthy neighborhoods, or maybe your parents were entrepreneurs. Two is the people whose like trauma response leads them to build a very strong business. So maybe they're like a narcissist, or maybe they're extremely aggressive. It's going to be easy for them. There's no like healing or personal growth necessary, but it's not going to be as ethical. And then there's most of us, which do need to overcome a lot of limiting beliefs and a lot of confidence issues to really step into our power. And yeah, I mean, the biggest points of transformation for me has been, one, breaking down the structures, like breaking down the structures of institutions, of hierarchical systems, and realizing it's all kind of bullshit. And I actually do have a lot of power. That is hard, because you have to step into knowing, like being very confident in your own knowledge and in your own expertise. And yeah, the self-confident part, it's very uncomfortable being perceived by others, but also when you're creating content, you're perceiving yourself in a very weird way and having this constant feedback loop within yourself. If anybody here has ever like watched a video of them talking like at a conference, you get it, how uncomfortable that is. But again, that's really a opportunity to build your own confidence. And instead of like, you know, cutting down yourself, to start to build your self-love. And I make this joke that, you know, personal brand goes way, way deeper than it needs to be. And all of my classes, like, again, it's like three questions and we get into, oh, I have this childhood trauma around the fear of being seen. But it really is that deep. It is like, there's a quote from this book, actually, You Are a Circle, that says, promote your work like your life depends on it, because it does. And again, just having the reverence of the value of the work and the value that you hold and the value that you give to others is so, so powerful. And also having the reverence to be able to promote that and get over any blockers in your way, because your work is extremely important. What you're doing is extremely important. But if you don't promote it, nobody will, and the world won't get the value out of the thing that you are creating or you are doing.
Kurt, we're getting close to the end of the hour here, but I wanted you to tell us a little bit more about this latest project of yours. I've been reading, I've been kind of picking up on it. Slay the Gatekeeper. What in the world is that? It sounds so dark, and I'm not still clear on what you're doing with it, but you want to tell us a little bit of that, because you're always up to something new. So tell me about that.
Yeah. Slay the Gatekeeper is my new project that's coming out. It's a podcast. It'll probably be out by the time this episode airs, but it's called Slay the Gatekeeper. It is un-gatekeeping life through cheat codes. And my TikTok, a lot of my content has seen a lot of success because I give cheat codes. So career cheat codes, marketing cheat codes, just very tactical things that you can implement that will help you accomplish your goals. And this came out of a frustration of like all of these things I'm learning as I'm going through entrepreneurship. I'm like, why did I not learn this? Why did I not learn this in school? Why did I not learn this in university? Why did nobody tell me this? Like, these are the things that you maybe see as obvious once you're on the other side of it. But not everybody has access to the information. And I believe we can gain more equality with access to information. Like, you guys, both self-made people that have like built businesses on your own, know that the biggest gap is in access to information. So I want to give every single tactical step-by-step how-to of business, of marketing, of personal brand, exactly how you can do it, cutting the bullshit. No stories, no fluff, just getting right to it. So I'm excited for that. It's going to be fun. It's going to pack all of my knowledge, all of my course knowledge, all of my plays and hacks into one place.
Is it a solo thing you're going to be doing about different topics that you develop, or are you planning on bringing some people on the show and adding external resources in that sense?
It'll be both.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when do we expect this to be on all of our...
February
2024. Slay the Gatekeeper.
Followed on Spotify.
All right. Well, listen, this has been a tremendous and very enlightening. I really urge everybody out there, dude, if you are an entrepreneur, are tickled by entrepreneurship, you want to go out there, you are going to die in the complexities of the world right now. It is not easy out there. It is a hard world. Money is not free. You got to work for it. And you got to understand that these tools are out there. They're easy. They're not incredibly difficult. It's more about getting, in the words of our famous guest, get over your goddamn cringe mountain. So CJ, thank you very much for being here. Congratulations to you both. Power couple, amazing people. I love you both. And Lucas, some words.
Well, thank you very much, CJ. This was great. This is one of our best episodes by far. So yes, I really appreciate it.
Hopefully you'll share it on your like billion follower stuff so that maybe some other people could be interested in us boring surgeons.
I will. I actually, one of the most frequent comments I get is like, I'm a nurse, how do I escape? Or I'm like in the medical field, how do I escape? What do I need to know? And I'm like, I don't know. I'll share them this episode.
Come work at Hope Vascular and Podiatry in Houston, Texas. Escape from corporate medicine. All right, CJ, thank you very much. Have a blessed day and we'll be in touch. Ciao.